From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Brady Carlson in for Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. President Obama said this week the U.S. was likely to continue airstrikes against the militant group known as the Islamic State, or ISIS, which has been seizing and controlling large swaths of territory inside Iraq. The president said Iraqi and Kurdish forces had retaken a strategically important dam near the city of Mosul, which he called a big step forward in dealing with the Islamic State. But the militants warned in an online video they would retaliate for those U.S. airstrikes, and their apparent retaliation has hit home in New Hampshire. News reports and state officials say journalist James Foley, who went missing in Syria in late 2012, was killed by ISIS fighters. Later in the show, we look at the social and political dynamics of a president's second term and how it affects an administration's response to issues like Iraq and the Islamic State. But for the first part of the program, we get an update on the killing of James Foley. And joining me with that update is Rick Stevens. He is Northern New England correspondent for the Associated Press and has been reporting on Foley's life and his death. Rick, good morning.
Good morning, Brady.
Horrific news, but also a horrific way to learn the news. Describe how this all came out yesterday and how officials have been working to verify that it was indeed James Foley.
Sure. Late in the afternoon, around 4:30, maybe 5 o'clock, there was a posting of a video on YouTube and on social media that purported to show the execution of an American hostage. A very stark video. The hostage is seen kneeling in an arid location, no identifiable backdrops. Next to him is a man dressed in black with a black hood over his head, and he's speaking with an English accent, criticizing the U.S. foreign policy in northern Iraq, specifically the airstrikes that have helped Iraqi and Kurdish forces regained some of the control that they lost there. The video, which I have not watched, by the way, and won't, then purports to show the beheading of this hostage, who later is confirmed by U.S. officials as James Foley. James is the video journalist from Rochester, New Hampshire. His parents still live there. And they also later confirmed that it was their son who was depicted in this video.
And you had mentioned about the no identifiable backdrops, an arid location, the accent of the speaker in the video. And these are all things intelligence teams look at when they review videos by militants and insurgent groups to try and figure out when or where those videos might have been filmed.
Yes. It also, this gives us a sense of the increasing sophistication of their media unit. You know, it begins with what appears to be American footage of President Obama explaining his rationale for the airstrikes in northern Iraq. It has Arabic subtitles. And then when James Foley speaks, again, there are Arabic subtitles and English subtitles. So this video will be analyzed by all manner of the American intelligence and security apparatus. And we do have two. The Associated Press, Larry Jakes in Washington, has confirmed through two sources that it's a verifiable video of James Foley.
And we're told that President Obama is going to address this video and James Foley later today. It was over 600 days ago that he first went missing, November 2012, in Syria. Remind us again of what we know about what happened then.
Let's actually go back longer than that, Brady. He first went missing in Libya in 2011.
Right.
He was captured. Yeah. But this was a guy. He was a true journalist at heart. He once said that, you know, he'd cover the local zoning board if it meant doing journalism, because he loved the business and the job so much. He was captured in Libya, held for 6 weeks. He was released that time. So he knew what he was getting into when he went back to Syria. Or went to Syria, I should say. That was in late 2012. He was in a car on November 22nd in Syria when it was stopped by four militants in a battle zone that Sunni rebel fighters were battling the government forces of President Assad, his forces. So the car was stopped and Foley was kidnapped. had not been heard from or seen since until yesterday's video was posted.
There had been an investigation by Agence France-Presse, which had employed James Foley, and they had concluded that he was probably being held by the Assad regime, the Syrian government, somewhere near Damascus. We'll have to see what we learn going forward about where he had been and in whose hands at what times.
That is a huge question, Brady. And how did he go from one group to another, to this group, the Islamic State, if that is in fact what happened? And those are still questions that are unanswered.
James Foley's family, as you mentioned, lives in Rochester. The family put out a statement yesterday saying they have never been prouder of their son who gave his life to tell the stories of the Syrian people. What else have family members and those close to the family been doing?
Well, for 2 years, the Foley family has been a very strong advocate for their son's return, but not only his return, the return of other foreigners kidnapped and otherwise detained in battle zones in Syria and in Afghanistan and elsewhere. Yesterday at the house, Mrs. Foley, Diane Foley, was very gracious. She declined comment to the Associated Press when we approached her, but they later did put out the statement that you referenced. They have held consistent prayer vigils at the local church where they belong. They have worked with the diplomatic corps, both in the United States and the Syrian diplomats, to try and secure their son's return, and it was unsuccessful. We have not heard from the Foleys today, so we don't know what their next steps will be.
There was a statement. It was attributed to a member of the Foley family on Twitter, essentially urging everyone who came into contact with the video that purports to show his execution, his killing, that you should not share it, you should not watch it, you should not let it go out into the world. And Twitter has essentially responded with an attempt to black out these kinds of social media posts by the Islamic State, by ISIS.
That's right. Twitter and a lot of the other social media outlets are trying to block the spread of these images. Twitter CEO Dick Costolo said his company is suspending accounts that they discover if they're related to this graphic imagery. At the same time, Twitter users, it's a little ironic, they're using social media to block ISIS media, but the hashtag is ISIS Media Blackout. So, they kind of get that name ISIS out there. ISIS is the Islamic State in Syria, although they've also since changed their name to ISIL. There's that outreach among social media companies. It looks like YouTube, the video was posted for some time on Tuesday before being removed. But like anything on the internet, it's going to be very difficult to completely eradicate those images.
Journalists, especially those who knew James Foley, have also been urging people through social media channels and through traditional journalistic forms to remind people of the kinds of stories that James Foley was trying to tell as he traveled to places like Libya or Syria. And there have been quite a few interesting stories about what it was like to, say, be in captivity with him, that he was the kind of person who said, well, we have paper here in this cell, we have coffee, let's write. We can still tell a story.
That I think speaks to James's his love of the profession of journalism. There was another story that we were able to tell in 2011 after he came back from Libya. And this may give you a little insight into his mindset as well. He spoke to a reporter in Boston and spoke of the day that he was captured. He came under intense fire in Libya. He was with a colleague, a South African photographer named Anton Hamrell. Hamrell is injured. He's shot and wounded. And James Foley tries to pull his friend out of harm's way, but he's turned back by heavy fire. He's ultimately captured. But in this interview with the Associated, the 2011 interview, James Foley doesn't regret being captured, doesn't regret, the hardship that he's gone through. He says, I'll regret that day for the rest of my life. I'll regret what happened to Anton. I will constantly analyze that. He's thinking more of his friend than he is himself, and of the really important job of trying to bring those stories of regular people caught in war.
and an increasingly difficult one. It's a dangerous job, even under relatively traditional combat circumstances. But when you start to bring in a situation as fluid and complicated as Iraq or Syria, it seems to amplify the dangers that much further, to a point that oftentimes news organizations say we simply don't feel comfortable sending someone into that much danger.
That's right. And a couple of factors there, Brady. You've got the Islamic State militant group, which is on the move in northern Iraq, headed towards Syria. This group is so ruthless. It started off as a splinter of al-Qaeda, but they are so ruthless and so harsh in their interpretation of strict Islamic law. Even al-Qaeda's leaders have disowned this group. So the notion of journalists being in harm's way in that region is certainly not overstated. The New York-based Committee to Protect Journalists said yesterday that they believe about 20 journalists are currently missing in Syria. They haven't released their names or nationalities. It's important to remember that James Foley was also believed to have been held with a journalist named Austin Tice. At the end of the video posted yesterday, the militant shows a second man who was identified as another American journalist, Stephen Sotloff. And boy, talk about coming home again. Stephen Sotloff is a graduate of the Kimball Union Academy in Meriden, so another New Hampshire connection to this. And in this, at the end of this video, the militant warns that this other American journalist could be the next captive killed if the American policies in northern Iraq don't change.
Well, Rick, thanks so much for keeping us up to date on this very sad story. We appreciate the time.
Thanks for having me, Brady.
That's Rick Stevens, Northern New England correspondent for the Associated Press, who's been reporting on the killing of James Foley. We'll continue to bring you the latest on Foley here on NHPR and NHPR.org. Coming up after a break, we'll take a look at the president's power and what he can and can't do as the end of his second term draws closer. You can join us with your comments and questions. The exchange number 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Be back after a short break. This is The Exchange on NHPR.